This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now back to Overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room. And your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Niners lose to Kansas City once again. That's the fifth straight loss for the 49ers to Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. Kyle Shanahan still has yet to beat Kansas City in his tenure as 49er head coach. This goes all the way back to the Jimmy Garoppolo era. Of course, you remember that first Super Bowl, but there was also the regular season loss, the 2018 season. That was the game that Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL, if you remember, and then that Niners season was doomed from that point on. Then the Super Bowl loss the following year. You had a regular season loss to the Chiefs at Levi's again 2 years ago. That was Christian McCaffrey's first game as a 49er, although he did not start, did not play a full complement of snaps. And then, of course, you know, the Super Bowl from 8 months ago, and then you have this regular season loss. Five straight losses for the 49ers to the Kansas City Chiefs. This one's final score, 28-18. And guys, I'm not sure it was really that close. The Niners scored with a minute to go in the fourth quarter to cut it 2-10. They went for two to try to make it a one-possession game, did not get it. They were down 28-12, and really, even when they were down by one score, like at halftime when it was 14-6, it felt like they were down by more like three scores, and that was the way the offense felt in this game. They had one first down gained by like a completed pass or a run in their first five offensive drives. They had one other via penalty. It was a DPI against George Kittle. The offense was slow moving the entire game, and that's why I say a one score game felt more like a three score game, because even when the Niners had been moving the ball, the red zone inefficiency has been so stark. Today it was like tenfold, because they couldn't even get the ball in the red zone, and then even when they got in the red zone, they still had all the same issues they've had all season long.
It didn't feel like there was a way they were going to win this game, where we were going, for all of the reasons you just listed and then some, where we were going to get on the air today and be like, wow, great win. It felt like it was going to be, okay, they snuck out of there. Okay, didn't play great, but man, hey, the Chiefs really made a couple of mistakes. Well, Mahomes is really missing his receivers. It was going to be that kind of, there was after the first four drives, I did not think we were going to be walking in here going, the 49ers outplayed the Chiefs today. They were going to need mistakes. You said at some point, like halfway through the third quarter, you were like, hey, they might need a defensive touchdown if they're going to get back in this.
And they're sure as hell not going to get a special teams touchdown. So.
Right, so maybe they can block a field goal and score. After the Mahomes 33-yard run that got him down right at the end of the third quarter, where they were going to go up 21-12, if they got a touchdown, because you're going, okay, maybe if they hold them to three here, it's 17, maybe you get a couple field goals, maybe you do punch one in. Now you have the lead, but you make it a two-score game. I don't think the Niners are going to be able to score a touchdown and then either another touchdown or a field goal. I just didn't. I didn't feel like there was any point after. I guess it was after Purdy's interception. That was where I went, yeah. Okay, they're just, if they win this, it's going to take a minor miracle.
Which one? The third one or second one?
The first one. Okay. Yeah, they get the stop on the fourth down, and then boom, give the ball back. Interception is just like, all right, here we go. One of those games. And the Chiefs just didn't make enough mistakes, or the 49ers didn't make them pay for their mistakes. Yeah.
Maybe outside of the 2018 game, it felt like San Francisco was like one play away from beating Kansas City, whether it was the Super Bowl in 2019 or even last year going to overtime. And even in the first half of that game in 2022 when Purdy played and CMC made his debut, that game was close at halftime. Hufanga got the pick early, and it felt like, okay, you know, maybe this is the time they get the win, and the wheels fell apart late. But this one just felt like no matter what San Francisco did, they were never going to find some consistency. And it's frustrating to still say that, yet have been really close throughout part of the fourth quarter and been like, man, like, if that play goes away, if Purdy only throws two picks, like, had Purdy not thrown that third interception and McKivitz doesn't get beat when the Chiefs only rush three, like, how do you get home when you got five blockers and they only rush in three? I digress. Just a continual issue right side of the offensive line for San Francisco. But if Purdy only throws that second pick, not the third one, and they score a touchdown, it's like, man, like, this game's pretty close. But this one just felt like you're pulling, dude, tooth and nail to get every single yard. And it's been a far too common story for San Francisco's offense this year. But this one in particular just felt like every play was a, I hope it isn't an interception, I hope it isn't a fumble, can they get some positive yardage? And once again, KC just finds a way to just, at the end of the day, take it to San Francisco in every single facet.
Yeah, and I'm with you guys. This was more of an offensive struggle than the defense's issue in this game. But let's not pretend that there weren't also some defensive miscues in this game. Kansas City's first touchdown drive, it happened in the second quarter. They pitched a shutout in the first quarter. Kansas City scores early in the second quarter. But do you remember how that drive ended? And how they even got in position to score? Nick Bosa lines up offside, doesn't jump offsides, doesn't try to time the snap and jumps early, lines up offsides on second and 10. Yeah, he D-forwarded it. He lines up offside on second and 10, takes away D. Winter's best play as a pro, where he snuffed out a screen for a loss of 3 yards, made an awesome tackle, would have been third and 13. Instead, it's second and 5. And then guess what happens? Givens jumps early. He's offside. Then you have 12 men on the field from the goal line. They turn all of that into a touchdown. They take the lead. The Niners would trail the rest of the game. I'm not saying all that to say that this was the defense's worst game in a long time. The defense was fine. I mean, Mahomes didn't throw for a touchdown. They picked him off twice. Hard to ask the defense to do much more, but the, I don't know, for lack of a better term, the mental mistakes, the brain farts, we talk about it on offense, it was also there on defense. And, man, Nick Bosa lining up offside. I don't know how that happens as often as it does. And Bosa was good for the most part today, had a sack, had multiple pressures as well. I think his pressure led to the first Mahomes interception in this one as well. He was fine. But that was a big swing moment in this game where he lines up onside, turning a third and 13 into a second and 5 that turns into a touchdown.
Yeah, that was a tough way to start, for sure. The other thing you look at with the Niners defense, and just to your point of how well they played, they get the turnover on downs on the first drive, they get an interception, and then a three and out. Cannot start a lot better than that. Then they give up a couple of touchdowns, but the one was a 30-yard touchdown drive because of bad punt coverage, which, like, rinse, repeat. Then they go punt, interception, punt, and then they score two touchdowns off of two 49ers interceptions that one of the last plays came on Kansas City's 34, so nearing the red zone, and then Kansas City's 5.
Yep.
And that's where your defense can only do so much. Your offense has to finish those drives. And Kansas City took the ball away and then went and finished those drives to put the game away. And that's the difference. That's why they're in a different class in San Francisco right now. You can get the takeaways all you want, but if you're not converting those into points, or you're immediately giving the ball back, it doesn't matter. So all of that is to say, Mark, I agree with you. I thought their defense was really good today. They complimentary football, right? We talk about it all the time. The Niners offense didn't hold up their end of the bargain, dude.
Can I argue it's not that San Francisco lost this game? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think they were going to win this game, but it's how they lost this game. It's the offense taking a massive step back. It's the red zone regressing to what it was early on this year. It's the turnovers. It's the Brock Purdy interceptions. It's the offensive line not being able to run the football till halfway through the third quarter. It's this no creativity offensively until your star receiver goes out. It's this very questionable way in which the offense has seemingly found itself playing on a continual basis this year. And then the defense, to me, played winnable football.
Yeah.
And I think, really, whether it was Steve Wilks or Robert Saleh or Nick Sorensen, every time they've played Kansas City, the defense has played winnable football minus two drives late in the game. Yep. Like, San Francisco's defense has, for the most part, been able to hold Mahomes at bay, waiting for the offense to come alive. And the offense never comes alive, or when it gets a lead, then it goes silent. And in this one, San Francisco had, what, a three-point lead and never had it again. It was simply just, oh, we scored early, but can never seem to put back-to-back plays together. You hit a couple home runs here or there, but even then, Purdy underthrows some passes that should have been touchdowns. I don't think it's that San Francisco lost this game that concerns me or bothers me. I think it's how they lost this game. I still have no idea through 6 weeks or 7 weeks now who the Niners are. Are you the team that beat Seattle last week or 2 weeks ago on Thursday Night Football primetime? Or are you this team that is turnover prone, can still get takeaways, but the offense can't score continually? I have no idea through half a season now who San Francisco is.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if a lot of people in the building know it either. You might have had belief for as long as you can, but you get to a point where you're seven games into the season, you're darn near halfway done, and you're under 500. It's hard to continue to have that belief, and I think that's where the Niners might be, you know, facing that reality at this point. Let's go back out to the phone lines here on Overtime, 888-957-9570. Kyle, Sterling, Grandy with you here on 95.7 The Game. Up next is Joel in Anaheim. What's up, Joel? You're on 95.7 The Game. How you feeling after that loss, Joel?
Yes, sir. I can't even disagree with last caller. He mentioned a lot of things I wanted to talk about. This team has no identity. And you know what? At this time of the year, if you have no identity, that's what your identity is. SF28KC18. Oh, my God. How can you even let that happen? First of all...
Oh, thanks. You can't say that, Joel.
You called it. That's
you
really well
you
done
can't
by
say
Cam
that,
in the,
Joel.
In the back.
Cam's got it for us in the back. But is Bill Walsh rolling in his grave? I mean, that offense was pretty ugly. Maybe he is. 28-18, and I'm sure he's a little upset that the Niners' perfect record in Super Bowls is also snapped by Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yeah, here's the thing, and this is Sterling hit the nail on the head a little bit ago. This is the problem here. This isn't an isolated performance. Like, this isn't just to this year. I'm sorry, I super lost my train of thought. Hit the nail on the head, and I don't...
Continual problem.
it's just a real issue. Sorry, guys.
Well, I think really, like...
Totally derailed.
What it is simply just that what's happening isn't new. It's the same thing every single week, whether it's week one against the Jets, which they won that game, but it wasn't like a big, oh, you know, like what a dominant win. It was, okay, we're looking pretty good. Week two, you lose against the Vikings. They lost today for the first time, but they're still a seemingly really good team, a great defense so far. Could have won that game for sure. Got a couple takeaways. Then you blow a game against the Rams. Then you blow a game against the Cardinals. Then you beat the Patriots. They're terrible. They suck. I mean, really, San Francisco has no defining win outside of beating Seattle on Thursday Night Football. And some could even argue that Seattle is kind of in the same boat San Francisco is. They pass the ball a ton. They don't run the football. Seattle's trying to find themselves as well, despite winning one more game than San Francisco has. So it's like...
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
The problem San Francisco has have been there since this year has begun, and they're not going away no matter how many more games they play. It is a continual, constant issue. Third down, red zone. Doesn't matter what it is, this offense cannot put the ball in the end zone. They scored 18 points. They had 12 points going into the fourth quarter. 12 points. Mm-hmm. With Brock Purdy as a quarterback playing his best ball ever coming into this game, right? Jordan Mason, a second leading rusher in football. Brandon Ayuk, I know, got hurt. You thought you had Debo. You didn't have Debo. Pearsall's back off the injury. No Juwan Jennings. You still got George Kittle? Like, there are teams that have one weapon that can score more points than 18 against this Chiefs team. The Falcons had this team beat. The Bengals, who were terrible to begin the year, had this team beat. Like, come on. Like, this is, it's so frustrating to watch this team. The potential they can reach is still, maybe not this year, but walking into the year a Super Bowl champion. They can do that. And they have played so far below the expectations set by themselves due to their past play. It's almost sickening. It's like, when you watch the game on Sunday, Monday, or Thursday, you're like, do I even want to put myself through this? This could be awesome, but it could also be some of the worst football this team has played since 2020. That's how bad this has been.
Yeah, It has been ugly, and it's at a point where, you know, Kyle Shanahan saying earlier today, post-game, and we're going to hear the full Kyle Shanahan comments a little bit later on, that they fear it's a torn ACL. You're also getting to a point where it feels like a 2020 season just because of all the injuries that you're dealing with as well. I mean, I know you expect McCaffrey back at some point, hopefully making progress, but it's all kind of, uncertain, and we don't really know all the details. If what the Niners are fearing of Ayuk is true, he's done for the season. You've already had games where you missed Kittle. You've had a game where you missed Debo Samuel. He essentially didn't play today either. Like, this is feeling a little bit like that as well. Although, of course, you still have a lot of season ahead of you, and you don't really have a ton of season-ending injuries. You just had a bunch of things that have kind of thwarted your momentum so far this season. So we'll see how that continues to develop. But you are right, Sterling. It does have that 2020 kind of feeling to it, where you tune in on any given Sunday, any given Monday, any given Thursday, and you might just be so disgusted that you don't want to watch the rest of the football game. 888-957-9570. Back out to the phone lines. Up next is Paul in San Jose, who wants to talk about Brock Purdy and the offense. What's up, Paul? You're on overtime. How you doing? Paul, you there?
Hey, Paul.
Paul, going once, going twice. All right, call us back, Paul. 888-957-9570. Up next is Michael in the East Bay. Michael, thanks for holding. How you doing? Michael, are you there?
Looking like San Francisco's offense.
What is going on out there? All right, we'll go back to the phones in just a second. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think anything encapsulates this game better than the last four plays on the play-by-play sheet. It is two-point conversion attempt, Brock Purdy pass to Ricky Pearsall is incomplete, attempt fails. Mitch Wishnowsky kicks onside 4 yards from San Francisco's 35-39, ball declared dead. Patrick Mahomes nails, ball game over. Those are the last four. Like, that's perfect. It just, the Niners tripping over themselves, failing a two-point conversion, the worst onside kick I've ever seen in my life, and the Chiefs just come on the field and just, okay, here we go, kneel. Okay, this game's over. Goodbye now.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah, anytime.
Okay, so no. 49ers... No, okay. Well, this question is for Kyle, not for Sterling. 49ers down 14-6 early in the third quarter. They drive down after the Diomedor Lenore interception.
Yeah.
Dimo, by the way, maybe the best Niner
really,
today.
Really good.
He was
really
awesome.
Good game.
Brock Purdy, the unique quarterback sneak that you were talking about earlier, Kyle, he gets in. Niners make it a two-score game.
Mm-hmm.
Or a two-point game, sorry. 14-12, it's a two-point game. Can someone answer this question for me? And this is for everybody. On the Comcast Business text line, 888-957-9570, our callers as well. Kyle, and I know, Sterling, you refused my question. I'll let you answer it, though, because I'm a nice guy. Why didn't they go for two? I know that they kicked the extra point and missed it. Even if you could guarantee me a made extra point, why aren't you going for two to tie the game? You're down by two at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The logic says you're probably going to need a two-point conversion at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And the smart move, for my money, the smart move is go for the two-point conversion as early as you possibly can in order to figure out what you need moving forward, right? Like, if you go for two and you don't get it, you're still down by two. Kansas City goes and scores a touchdown. You know you're still going to need to get 2 points anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
If you don't kick the two-point conversion, you just get the extra point, down by one, they go down, score a touchdown, They're up by 8. You need a 2-point conversion there anyway. So why not go for the 2 ASAP to figure out what you need the rest of the game? If you still need 2 scores or if you only need 1 score, that made no sense to me, not going for 2 down 2.
I'm with you 100%. I'm sure there's somebody who with math and stuff that'll tell you, well, 10:39 is too early to do that. But I'm with you, man. Go for the two now. They may not. Your defense is playing well. Like if you tie this, a field goal might put you in a really good spot to try and win this game. Like that's kind of the thought process I would have. And to your point, go down. You're going to be down 9 if you don't get it, and you're going to know you need 2 scores anyway. Like you want to know that as early as possible. It's what you laid out. So the reason they didn't do that is because Kyle Shanahan is an old school football coach. He came up in the mud of the 90s 49ers and the early late 90s Broncos with Mike Shanahan. And the thought process is, well, you kick the extra point here because then you can tie it with a 2-point conversion. He's basically playing for overtime. Like that's what you're just extending the game as much as possible.
Yeah, but that what you're saying.
It's silly.
You say you're going to tie it with a 2-point conversion. Then do the 2-point conversion now. That essentially still ties the game. That ties it right now.
We're sitting out here and they score and we were like, they got to go for 2. And you went, I don't think he's going to go.
Well, no, you asked me, odds Kyle Shanahan kicks the extra point here. And I was like, eh, even for Kyle, I don't know. And then they tried out the extra point unit, and then he misses it.
The football gods punished them for that.
That's exactly right.
Crazy.
Which, I'm not going to crush Kyle for...
Do it.
He has his third kicker this year, right? Right, he's Anders Carlson, who essentially gave them the game against the Packers in the playoffs last year. Mark, you would know me yelling some thing to the TV. We're not going to repeat on the air right now. But like his third kicker, after he watches kickers get hurt in back-to-back weeks, Moody and Wright both go down. And like, I get it. You want to take the points. I get the train of thought. But I know, Kyle, you said it was silly. It's not silly. It's stupid. Just take the points. Why is there this continual, well, you know, once we get into overtime, then I'll really pull this out of the bag. Or later in the game, when I hope I can get into the red zone, which is no promise against the Chiefs defense, as you saw in this game, why would you even risk that? Great teams. Hell, the Chiefs in this one went for a fake punt on their own side of the field on the very first drive of the game. Oh, that's too early for that. If it's too early for a 2-point conversion to tie a game up, it's not too early for a fake punt on your own side of the field? Like, the Chiefs in this game were going for the kill early. They wanted to score points to put San Francisco on their heels, knowing San Francisco's offense has not been playing their best football. And when they get to the red zone, it's whatever happens, happens. It is a nightmare for San Francisco's offense. But why? Every year we get this same conversation. In the Super Bowl last year, kick the field goal, take the points. No, go for the touchdown, man. Why do you even want to risk Mahomes getting on the field? And you watch Mahomes and Kelce in that game like, did they go for a field goal? Wow, we have a chance to win. Like, at that point in time, why are you playing, oh, for a field goal? What do field goals win you? Nothing. And with this team, field goals aren't even promised. And with your third-string kicker, hell, that guy's not even good. And you want to risk a PAT for a point that actually is not even going to matter when it's all said and done? Just be aggressive. I'd rather this team go for every fourth down the entire game than risk trotting out a third-string kicker. I just hate it.
He made a 55-yarder, though. First points of the game.
Smoked it. Just drilled it.
And then botched the 13-yarder he had later.
What's crazy is if Matthew Wright does not get hurt Thursday in Seattle, the Niners don't attempt that 55-yard field goal attempt because Matthew Wright does not have the leg.
Yeah.
And then Carlson made it.
Yeah. And then missed
the extra
point. Which
gave Shanahan false hope he'd make the PAT.
Oh, God.
I asked this on the internet, and it's only part facetious. Given their punt coverage issues, I feel like anything outside of their own, like, 35, fourth and two or shorter, I'm just going for it.
Yeah.
Especially when you have your weapons. Like, maybe it's a little different in, like, the second half today.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, if you got Kittle and Debo and Ayuk, yeah, why not?
Yeah. Well, and I would love to say that this is isolated to today, but No, even when they've been healthy, that's been a Kyle Shanahan problem.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
It's just the lack of aggressiveness with all those dudes. Go for two every time. Not every time. That's crazy. But in that spot, to me, you have to go for two. You have to tie the game. You have all the momentum. And even if you kick the extra point, like, you're still down. So go for two. You don't get it, whatever. But you do get it, and all of a sudden the entire complexion of the game changes.
Yeah.
And instead they doink the extra point.
There was one moment, I'm trying to find where it was, where the Niners had a fourth and one, or a fourth and short, and we were thinking maybe they think about going for it. They don't. They punt the ball away. Mm-hmm. Mitch Wishnowsky, an awesome punt. They down it, I think, around the 10 or something mm-hmm. like that.
The eight.
Eight. Defense forces a three and out. They get the ball back near midfield. So you and I was debating in that moment, I want my offense to go for it there. It's fourth and short. You're playing against the Super Bowl, the two-time defending champs. Be aggressive. Get a first down. But Shanahan decided to punt, put the faith in his defense. In that moment, it turned out to be the right decision, I suppose, because you got a three and out, and you got the ball right back, and you actually gained a few yards on the exchange. So, mm-hmm. I can get some of those moments. However, just because one way works doesn't mean necessarily that the other way wouldn't have worked. If you go for it on fourth and short and you get the first down, that's better than giving the ball back to Mahomes no matter what happens. So there is a give and take here, and I get it, but I think there is also a lot of the blame in this one that goes to Kyle Shanahan, not just on decisions and whether he goes for it or not, or he goes for the two-point conversion or not, but we also got to talk about the offense and just general lack of creativity. I mean, 888-957-9570. We got to hit a quick break. But when was the last time any of you Niner fans out there went, wow, what a play drawn up by Kyle Shanahan, man. That was amazing. I haven't felt that in a really long time. And we can talk about that coming up on the other side as well. Plus, we'll go back out to the phone lines. I see you, Rob. I see you, Joe, and more. It's overtime here on 95.7 The Game. The Niners fall to the Chiefs 28-18. Grandy, Kyle, Sterling with you. More OT next on 95.7 The Game.
That's why. Oh! It's a sneak, and Chiefs are going to be short. They pull the fake, and the fake blocks. San Francisco is ready.
Now, back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett, with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Welcome back. Niners fall to the Chiefs today, 28-18, the final score from Levi Stadium in Santa Clara. The Niners now 3-4 on the season. The Kansas City Chiefs are still undefeated. 6-0 is their record. They were off the bye. The 49ers off the mini bye, with Minnesota losing today to Detroit in Minneapolis. That means the Chiefs are what? They're the lone remaining undefeated in the NFL, right?
Yes.
6-0, and they're already the two-time defending Super Bowl champions, and they are the last perfect team in the NFL at 6-0. And that highlight you just heard, courtesy of the NFL on Fox, the Niners stopped. They had a positive play on special teams. How about that? The Chiefs going for a fake punt early in the game. The Niners stuff it. They get the ball back. They turn it into points with the Anders Carlson 55-yard field goal. 3-0 at that point. They picked off Patrick Mahomes a couple of times. There were good moments here and there. But there were more, of course, bad moments than there were good. The final score, Niners, again, 28-18. They're losers. How about this stat, guys? And then we'll go back out to the phone lines
Love
in a second.
The
49ers, with Brock Purdy as their starting quarterback, when Purdy does not turn the ball over, the Niners are 14-0.
Mm-hmm.
When Brock Purdy turns the ball over at least once, the 49ers are now 6-8 with this loss today.
Gross.
Sometimes football's a simple game, right? Take care of the ball, you don't lose.
I joke about that with like three keys to the game all the time, where one of the keys inevitably is win the turnover battle. But that's just it for the Niners.
Pretty simple.
It's like, I know that's the case for a lot of teams, but with the 49ers specifically, win the turnover battle, win the game. If they are beating themselves, and Debo said this a couple weeks ago, like when they're beating themselves, it's other way around. They're really hard to beat when they're not beating themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. And you just saw it today. Like, man, they're doing everything right. Mary, getting pressure on Mahomes. Oh, they sacked Mahomes a couple of times. I think he'd been sacked, what, six times in four games? against the Niners coming into today, and I think they got him twice today.
I think Kansas City had given up 42 pressures through five games so far this year.
Jeez.
So phenomenal. Like,
that's
phenomenal. You're never getting Mahomes down.
Yeah,
and they got him down twice in the first quarter.
Yeah man. And they're just doing everything right. And then just Brock interception. Or I guess the one in the red zone, the one in the end zone was really bad. The one to Ronnie Bell is forgivable. I think that was just a miscommunication.
Yeah.
But the first one after the fourth down stop, you can't have that. That just... That window was never there.
He's don't know what he's seeing there.
Forcing a throw in. And same thing in the end zone. You need points. It's 21-12.
That one was maybe impacted a little bit by the George Karloftis spin move against Mikivitz.
Maybe.
My goodness.
He contacted Purdy's arm before he released the ball. But to your point, he was looking for Conley in the end zone, and there mm-hmm. were two guys sandwiched around yeah. Conley. Like, even if that throw gets off unimpeded, at the very best, it's an incomplete pass.
Yeah.
It still might be intercepted anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
It was bad.
Here's the other thing, as we kind of zoom out a little bit here. Sterling, I think you brought this up earlier, but the way the 49ers build their team, and they say, we want the guys who are going to score touchdowns instead. I think that's such a key point with the Niners-Chiefs matchup. Because the Chiefs have like the highest paid offensive interior in the sport, with Creed Humphrey at center and Joe Tooney's their one of their guards, and I forget their other guard's name.
Trey Smith,
thank you. So they have like three of the best interior offensive linemen in the sport, and they invest in that spot, and they continue having all the success. And the 49ers, meanwhile, are like, yeah, hey, we're going to draft guys. We're going to have them here on their four-year rookie contracts, and then we're going to let them go. Oh, look, Jake Brendel, he can play a little... We're going to get him on the cheap at center, and now we're building this. I think at some point, like, that's the philosophical shift I would like to see the 49ers make, because they're just not, they just don't have the horses to keep up with a team like Kansas City that invests so much money into their offensive and defensive lines. The Niners have invested on the defensive line for sure, but specifically on offense, like, part of the reason Mahomes is able to make all these plays is because he doesn't get pressured a ton. And when he does, it's one move to escape, and now he's out. Whereas the 49ers, it's, I mean, every game, there's, wow, Jake Brendel got smoked on that play. Oh, Aaron Banks got smoked on that play. Oh, Colton McKivitz got smoked on that play.
First drive of the game, Jake Brendel holding took away a large Jordan Mason run.
Yep.
He pointed out
shocked.
Immediately, uh-oh, yeah. Jake Brendel, bad performance again.
Yeah, man. And this just feels like a trend at this point, where a lot of the 49ers' issues, I think, offensively can come back to the fact that, hey, they just can't block often enough or consistently enough. It might just be that easy.
And that's the thing, is that the easiest way, the fastest way to the quarterback is beating the center.
Yep.
And San Francisco continually watches their center get beat every single game or call for a holding penalty because he's getting beat. And you're just like, how many times in that first half did we see San Francisco first and 15, first and 20, second and 20, third and 12? And it's like Kyle said earlier, Debo said that we are pretty hard to beat if we're not beating ourselves, but how many times this year has San Francisco in almost every game not been beating themselves? They were beating themselves against the Vikings. They were turning the ball over. The offensive line wasn't good. Special teams was bad. The Rams was a complete utter collapse of defense and special teams. They beat themselves in that game. The Cardinals, for the most part, was them beating themselves, where when I look at who San Francisco's beat, the Jets are kind of back and forth. Who are they? You beat the Patriots. I get Seattle's there, but Seattle really, to me, still is not really not a competitive team. It's like, yeah, they're going to be a first round out. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. San Francisco has not really beaten a good team this year, and they've lost to really bad teams. And the good teams they faced, Vikings and Kansas and the Chiefs, they got beat pretty handily by both of them. And it's like, for the Niners, yes, you have to stop beating yourselves for sure. The easiest way to win football games is score points and take care of the football. Football, while being very complex, is super simple when you talk about the outcome. Well, yep. That team threw three interceptions. That team didn't. In this game, the worst part about it is both teams threw at least two interceptions, and San Francisco still couldn't put up points. So, yeah, San Francisco has to stop beating themselves and getting out of their own way, but this team is just not good. Consistently not good. Where the defense picks them up, the offense has no answer. When the offense answers, the defense lets the Chiefs drive 70 yards on five plays. And you're like, oh my goodness. Like, no matter what happens, they're going to lose this game. And it's just not good football.
Yeah. No, it hasn't been consistently. You're right. I mean, how many times have the Niners beat themselves? At the very least, in all four of their losses, they have aided their opponents in beating them, no doubt. 888-957-9570. Up next is Joe in Pacifica. What's up, Joe? You're on Overtime with Grandy, Kyle, and Sterling. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call. I realize it's only seven games into the season, so the Niners still have a way of bouncing back. But if they don't, and with all these injuries are starting to pile up, I don't know if it's too early to consider maybe the team possibly looking at next season and maybe offloading some of these veteran contracts to kind of start the rebuilding process sooner than later. I hate to say this because I know it's kind of premature in my thinking, but you know, the one thing I'm kind of worried about with the Niners is they hold on to these players for too long, as opposed to getting rid of them a little bit sooner. And start, you know, you're going up against teams. Like you look at the Lions, the Packers, and other teams in NFC West or NFC that are getting younger and have a lot of talent. And the Niners are literally trying to find themselves. Like you guys have been talking about this the whole show, trying to identify who they are. And on top of that, they're getting injured and they're getting older. They're not getting any younger. And I'm starting to wonder, you know, maybe this team should start really thinking about it. If they don't make it to the playoffs, especially the end of the season, maybe start thinking about rebuilding and starting a clean slate. Those are my thoughts. I'm just kind of concerned about this team and where they're heading this direction. This may not get any better anytime soon. And I'm just worried about where this team might be going, into next season. Those are my thoughts. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks. I don't think I agree necessarily. The 49ers were in the Super Bowl 8 months ago. I don't think they made any moves this offseason or did anything this offseason that was egregious from a keep a player for too long. Like, they re-signed Christian McCaffrey, or they basically guaranteed money that Christian McCaffrey already had coming. They keep Trent Williams, who's still playing at a really high level.
They let Armstead walk.
They signed Brandon Ayuk long-term. Kyle Juszczyk took a pay cut. I don't agree with that thought process in terms of the 49ers keep their players for too long. Like the Lions are young and up and coming because they stunk a couple of years ago. Like they're in the 2019 49ers version of this process.
Because they have great players that are on rookie contracts.
Right.
Maybe, other than Penei Sewell, who's making a ton of money at right tackle.
But. Right. They just started giving out all these extensions.
Amon-Ra this offseason, too.
I don't know exactly how those are built out, but I'm guessing they all didn't kick in this year, right? So that's just where they are. That's where the Texans are. That's where all these young... The Packers, for sure, even more so. Like, that's kind of just where they are. The 49ers are in an advantageous spot. Like, you want to be in a place where you're like, dude, we're paying so many dudes. Like, so that's why I think, to the caller's point, though, I think this season and this offseason is not necessarily about rebuilding, because rebuilding to me is like Debo gone, McCaffrey gone, Trent Williams, get him out of here. Like, that to me, I think it's more of a retooling where, maybe you do kind of assess, I don't know. What does the offense look like with Kyle Juszczyk versus without? What does it look like with Debo Samuel versus without? And maybe start looking at it that way. But no, I don't agree with the critique that the 49ers keep their guys for too long. They just played it. They're just losing the Super Bowl it's really hard to bounce back and play really well the next year. And they're in three consecutive deep playoff runs in 4 out of 5 years with a lot of these same guys. They're off to a bad start to the year. I don't think it's a like what's the word I'm looking for? I don't think it's like a knock on the 49ers team building.
Can we just admit that maybe they're old and they're tired? It's been a long, long, grueling journey the past few years for San Francisco. And while Fred Warner's playing at a great level and you have so many guys playing good football, just not cohesively, that's kind of the NFL sometimes. Guys have off years, guys get hurt, and things don't happen. Yes, the expectations are there, certainly. Well, the Patriots had expectations every year of going to the playoffs and winning a Super Bowl, which primarily they did, but there was a large gap where they didn't win one. Brady got hurt for a year. They had the greatest team arguably of all time and didn't win a Super Bowl. Now, that said, in San Francisco's case, seasons like this are the exact reason why you have to get it done when you get there. Last year, nobody got hurt Everyone's healthy, yep. And San Francisco couldn't capitalize. You had Hargrave and Bosa and Warner, and Greenlaw got hurt during the game, but you had Debo and Kittle and Ayuk, and I get some of those guys were in and out. If you watch receiver, you know even more in-depthly about that stuff, but you had CMC. Like, last year was the perfect. It was like the NFL God said, here's a nearly completely healthy season. We'll let you escape almost losing two horrible playoff games, yep, against the Packers and Lions, and will give you an appearance in the Super Bowl. And San Francisco literally fumbled that away. You can't do that. That's what makes winning in the NFL so hard, because despite your expectations, despite how good you were last year, the next year is never promised. And I think for San Francisco, well, I do think that this game, to me, when I walked into it, I said, okay, if you're 3-4, you have Dallas, like, the next two games are definitely indications as to where you are as a team. If you're 3-5 or you're 4-4, that to me does tell John Lynch, you know, should I buy? Should I buy a superstar? Should I buy a small ancillary piece like Calais Campbell to help the defensive line? I don't know. The defensive line, to me, played pretty good today. That wasn't a problem. It was the offense. But a game like this, like, I'm not saying hard sell, but Treverius Ward's on the last year of his contract. You can save roughly $9 million. I would want to do that. I want to see this team go for it all. The moves they made in the offseason, getting Malik Collins, letting Armstead go, signing Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, redoing Debo's deal, bringing Ayuk back. Like, all those moves indicate they're all in. Now Ayuk's gone for the year, which seems to be the case if the ACL is indeed torn. Hargrave is probably done for the year. You got to work with what you got. We want to see what this team is made of. We want to see what Kyle Shanahan, the genius he may be, is made of. And Brock Purdy, are you worth that $65 million? Win with this team.
Mm-hmm.
Win with Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing and Colt McKivitz at right tackle. Win with this team. Win a game like this when your back's against the wall and you have no weapons. That's hard, I get it, but you have to now.
Mm-hmm.
Debo may be sick next week. Juwan may be out next week. And it's Conley and Pearsall and Bell and maybe Debo. Win with this roster, you get that paycheck for sure. And when you win with this roster, you'll earn the respect of everybody in the NFL for sure.
Yeah, and no matter what happens this season, this will be an off season, the coming off season, full of tough decisions, because at some point you're just going to have to decide what players you want to keep and what players you don't want to keep.
Like, yeah, man.
No matter what, even if you go and win the Super Bowl, like, it's going to be an off season full of really, really tough decisions. And part of the reason why, and the injury notwithstanding, you talked about Ayuk, and it's a potential ACL tear. Kyle Shanahan say the Niners fear that. We don't have, the MRI has not happened yet. It'll likely happen tomorrow, and we'll keep you updated, of course, here on 95.7 The Game throughout the day whenever we get that update. But the injury notwithstanding, I mean, the $30 million per year investment in Ayuk, has the return on investment has been terrible so far, and that is going to be a main reason, one of the main reasons why the coming offseason is going to be full of really, really tough decisions. So maybe it's less about, as you talked about, Kyle, a rebuild, which to me, and I think you agree, constitutes a teardown, and then resetting, like resetting your clock. That's not what this is, but is all of Ayuk, Debo, Kittle, Juszczyk, all of those guys going to be back next year? Probably not. Just the simple finances. It's a math equation, and the simple math equation suggests that seems unlikely. That's the conversation we can have as the season goes on. As the more losses stack up, the more likely those things are to happen. Mm-hmm. But at this point, it does not look good, no doubt. 888-957-9570. Let's keep going on the phone lines. Up next is The Observer, who's in Orlando. What's up, The Observer? You're on overtime on 95.7 The Game. What do you think about this loss today for the Niners, Observer?
Yeah, I really think it was pretty pathetic, gentlemen. Listen, thank you for the line. What I wanted to say is I think that from afar, I think that the 49ers and the Cowboys have the same problem. I think that they both have grossly overvalued their personnel. And I'm the same gentleman that called and said that the 49ers, just from afar, once again, they look kind of old, slow, and unathletic. And I was wondering when they were going to try to improve the team through the draft. I understand that Mr. Shanahan is very good in the later rounds, maybe 5, 6, and 7. But what about 1, 2, 3, and 4? I mean, what have you gotten? What kind of speed, what kind of athleticism have you guys gotten to take you to the next level? I think you have another problem. You have a quarterback that has problem throwing the ball with any velocity, and then you have a receiver in Debo Samuel. unfortunately. But the truth is that Debo is more running back than he is wide receiver. He's got no shake. I've never seen such round, circular routes in my life. There's no shake to anybody on the 49er team except for Brandon Ayuk. George Kittle, I like him. He's a great blocker, a great player, has been a great player. But I think that he lacks a little shake, and he seems to be getting a little bit slower in old age. So I just wanted to get your opinion on this.
Yeah, The Observer, I think you bring up a couple of good points. First of all, the Niners are one of the older teams in the NFL. If you look at their entire roster, top 10 in terms of oldest average age of their players, they get even older on average if you focus on, like, generally the starters, the players that play the most. And you go down almost like all of the Niners' key players, like the Kittles and the Debo. Not that Debo is necessarily old, but he's veteran and has been around for a while. The Trent Williamses and all those kind of players, they get a little bit older than most still. It's something that Brian Baldinger has said on the station a number of times this season. What do the Niners look like? What is their identity so far? It's that they look slow. I think the Observer is spot on. They look slow. They're relatively unathletic. We saw them swarm defensively in Seattle, specifically in that first half. That was really encouraging. But through 7 weeks, we haven't really seen that same kind of intensity from the defense for the majority of the season. Yeah, I mean, I'm with the caller. They do look pretty slow through 7 weeks.
This is another reason. This is another issue I have with Kyle Shanahan. Is look at Andy Reid. The Chiefs had carries today for Kareem Hunt, Patrick Mahomes, Mecole Hardman, Carson Steele, Samaje Perine, Xavier Worthy, and something Hicks. Jay Hicks.
Jordan Hicks, the Giants pitcher?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what he's up to. But somebody named Hicks. They all got carries today because it is about, hey, Xavier Worthy, is he fully integrated into the Chiefs offense yet? He's not. He's not the next Tyreek Hill, at least not as of right now. So what do they do? Hey, here's an end around. Here's a sweep. Here's a short throw. We're just going to get the ball in the hands of this guy who, is he ready to fully grasp the offense? No. But he's going to go get yards. He's going to be effective. Defenses are going to have to respect it, and they're going to have to think about it. The 49ers version of that is Jacob Cowing, and he's on the bench.
Yeah.
He only got in the game today because of injuries. Where Andy Reid is hey, Mecole Hardman, you're not a great receiver, but here's these four things you're good at. We're going to make sure you're doing those four things.
And he hurt him.
Yes.
He took an end around 20 yards for a touchdown.
Yes. And put the game away. So you have those, like, juxtaposing those two things. I think it's always so stark when Andy Reid coaches against Kyle Shanahan. Because Andy Reid is like, hey, we need to get in the end zone here. We're going to put Carson Wentz and Patrick Mahomes in three-point stances in the backfield with, I think it was it Carson Steele was back there too? I forget. Maybe Kareem Hunt, whoever was there. And we're going to run a play out of this insane formation just to give the defense something to think about. And then we're going to run all these jet sweeps and end arounds, and we're going to do all this crazy stuff just to. And then you have Kyle Shanahan who's going, well, we're going to stick to the outside zone play action game. And as long as we execute, like, that's great, except you don't have dudes that are beating their dudes. At some point, you need somebody to be individually great and just individually athletic. So I agree with the Observer to that point. And I like, yeah, get Jacob Cowing involved. Get Ricky Pearsall if he's got shake to borrow the phrase, get him involved because they need it. They need it on both sides of the ball. To be honest, I think it's a bigger problem on defense.
But then you watch against the Seahawks last week. Mustafa, electric. I thought he was a massive bright spot today.
Was
he perfect? Maybe not, but I thought he was laying dudes out left and right. He was making big plays. He plays with that electricity you want defensively. For maybe as angry as you are at D. Winters for missing a tackle, it was kind of a, there was some life to that linebacking room today that wasn't there in previous weeks because of D. Winters, which he's young. He'll make mistakes. He'll live with that, but there is some athleticism at the position that hasn't been there all year long.
Yep.
Bernardo Green. I didn't hear his name much today, but against the Seahawks 2 weeks ago, big interception, locked down DK Metcalf and that receiver core out there with the Seahawks. Like, there has been some youth defensively, and I think the defense has responded. The offense has not. The defense was not great to begin the year. They have definitely picked things up, and I think against the Chiefs and against the Cardinals and against the Seahawks have played their best three-game stretch so far during the year. All three of those games were winnable, because the defense played well and got takeaways and got turnovers. Whereas the offense, I wouldn't say San Francisco's offense is old. Brock Purdy's a young quarterback in year number four. I get CMC's out. Mason's relatively, you know, low tread on the tires he currently has, although he's injured today. And then you have guys that are hurt, but Andy Reid, and to Kyle's point, what he does so well is goes, you know what? You may not be a great receiver, but I know your skill set, we can utilize that. Your speed, we can take that and change the offense, make one or two plays that can focus on that and let you do damage the way I know your skill set allows you to. And that's why you see Xavier Worthy, Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman's not a great receiver.
No.
He'll be a receiver number four on most teams. On Kansas City, he's a dynamic weapon they can use to get clutch big-time touchdowns. Like, it happened multiple times today. And not to sound like, oh, maybe there is good things coming, but injuries to Ayuk, although terrible, and Debo being sick and Jennings being out, hope those guys can get back soon, but it may force Kyle Shanahan to rely on these young guys like Pearsall, like Cowan, to go, you know what? If we're going to win this year, we're going to have to utilize your skill sets to win games. And I'm just hoping and praying that, let's say, you know, Debo misses more time with an illness or whatever it is, and Jennings is out further. If this team starts Chris Conley and Ronnie Bell, I'm going to lose my mind, because I wouldn't put it past Kyle Shanahan. That's something he would do, because they block well and they're vets. Start the young guys, man. Let the young guys cook. They're going to make mistakes, but you're going to have them up to speed if you want to win in the NFL. Be electric. That's what Shanahan's offense needs right now.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob Cowling, 2 catches, 3 targets, 50 yards. He had the big 41-yarder that would have went for a touchdown if Ayuk led him perfectly. Not the easiest, or if Purdy led him perfectly. Not the easiest throw, but one that Purdy has made in the past. It was a nice double move by Cowling. Ran right past the DB. To be fair, that was the backup corner for Kansas City that came in as an injury replacement. So that's not a legit NFL number one corner that he ran past. But he shows a little bit of wiggle, a little bit of speed that maybe the Niners don't have at that position. And if you're asking me, who would you want to see if Ayuk is out for an extended period of time, maybe for the whole year, which seems likely considering Kyle Shanahan has said they fear that Ayuk has a torn ACL in his right knee. If it's going to be Ronnie Bell or Jacob Cowling, I know who I want to see. If it's going to be Chris Conley or Jacob Cowling, I know who I want to see. We're probably going to see a lot more of Ricky Pearsall now, of course. This was his first game available and active. He had 3 catches over 5 targets for 21 yards. He will play a lot more now without Ayuk, I would assume. Jacob Cowling, I hope, will play more as well. And I'm with both you guys and with our caller as well. It's going to be up to some of these others to step up. And I hope Kyle Shanahan has the wherewithal to allow them those opportunities, because it's pretty clear the other guys that he would be turning to, simply because they are maybe a little bit better at some of the other things, they're not good enough, and they're not going to cut it in the most important aspects of what a wide receiver does, which is get open and catch the football. So put out there the guys that can get open and catch the football. I would be okay not seeing Ronnie Bell run around for the rest of the season. Just give me Jacob Cowling, because at the very least it's unknown, and I want to find out. Give me all the information as soon as you possibly can. That's how I feel. We can talk more about that when we come back. We also will continue on the phone lines. Rodney, you're up first when we return as overtime continues. It's Kyle, Sterling, Grandy with you. Overtime on 95.7 The Game after the Niners fall to the Chiefs for a fifth straight time. 28-18 is the final score. More OT next on 95.7 The Game.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app